infliximab. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along the clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your children from afar, with their silver and gold, to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will always stand open. They'll never be shut, day or night, so that people may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession. For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the fir, and the cypress together, to adorn my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place for my feet. The children of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet, and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. You will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold and silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I'll bring you bronze and iron in place of stones. I will make peace your governor and well-being your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In his time, I will do this swiftly. Here ends the reading.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Good morning, church. Good to see you. Good to see some new faces here this morning. Welcome. Wonderful to have you here. My name is Winston. I'm one of the pastors here. It's a great joy for me to bring you God's word. If you would like to, I recommend you have the Bible in front of you. I think it's always important that you're not just listening to the preacher, but you're looking at the Bible, you're looking at God's word and seeing if what the preacher is saying is actually accurate. If it's following what the Bible is saying, let me encourage you, it's a good habit to get into. So have the Bible open in front of you. You can scan the QR code there to get access to it on your phone, or you can always put your hand up for a Bible as well. All right, let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray, God, that as your word comes to us, open our eyes, Lord, to see you. May I diminish, Lord, and may you become greater, Lord. May your word speak brightly and deeply into our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of us have made the effort at least once in our life to get up early and watch the sunrise. Have you done that? Who's done that? I think most of us have. If you haven't, let me encourage you to do that. It is a special moment of every... that's a bit dark. What happens at the break of dawn, you know, it's dark and then the world is quiet, everything is still, and slowly but gently you see this glimmer of light just hit the horizon, and it just brightens up the horizon slowly as it rises, and it breaks through the darkness and brightens up everything, and eventually reaches the shore and brightens the whole day. And what happens to the darkness? The darkness doesn't fight back. It just gives way. It doesn't negotiate. It's driven away by the sun. Light comes and changes everything. Isaiah 60 describes this kind of a moment. It's a vision of hope bursting into a world that feels like it's been in darkness for a long time. God will come and he will pierce the darkness, and he will drive away the darkness, not just for a moment, but forever. And he will bring in this eternity of prosperity, of joy, of peace, forever. But before we go further, can I ask you this personal question? Do you think this world is in darkness? It's an important question, because how you answer this question will actually affect how you listen to God's word this morning. Do you think this world is in darkness? I put it to you that this world has been in darkness since Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. We see the impact of that original sin to this very day. We see it around us. We hear it in the news. The wars that are happening in Ukraine, in the Middle East. You know, just recently I read that since 2009, up to 100,000 Christians have been slaughtered in Nigeria. I was shocked by that. This is part of the darkness in our world. Not just out there overseas, but all around us as well. You know, these days, there's access to every sin on the internet, pornography, and even in social media, highly sexualized content. It's very, very difficult to get away from the darkness around us. And if we dare to look inside our own hearts, we see, if we're honest, we should see that there's darkness within us as well. And I look in my own heart and I see darkness. I see materialism. I see my pride. I see lust. I see hypocrisy. There's darkness within me. And Isaiah 60 begins by saying that this world is covered in this deep darkness. But it also announces something astonishing. Into this darkness, God shines a light. And the light, this light, is not just a philosophy. It's not just a technique to try and push away the darkness, this coping strategy. It's not that. This light, the Bible says, is a person. And today we're going to see what Isaiah 60 says about this light and what it means for us. Now, I suspect quite a number of you, some of you are new, and quite a number of you weren't here listening to our Isaiah series that we started 4 years ago. So for all of you who need to be caught up to speed, let me quickly do that. So first 39 chapters is basically a warning. Judgment is coming to Judah because of their sin, because of their hypocrisy and their injustice and their idolatry. God says in the opening chapter that your sacrifices have become a stench. He is angry with them and he will bring judgment. And that is what happens. He comes, he judges Judah, all of Israel, and they're exiled into Babylon, defeated by Babylon and exiled, but also there's a glimmer of hope. There will be a remnant that remains. Isaiah 40-55 is a word of comfort. A word of comfort that this exile will not remain forever. You will be able to return. And he promises, if you recall very clearly, he promises a Messiah, a Savior. He will send a Messiah one day. And now we're in Isaiah 56-66, chapter 60 particularly this morning. And in this section, it's a vision of what God's salvation will look like, not only for Israel, but to the whole world. And most scholars say that in this section, Israel have returned. Matthew hinted at that. Israel have returned and they're allowed to rebuild the temple, but they are still spiritually weak, struggling. They do not have a king of their own. They do not own the land. They're still ruled by a foreign nation. And that is the context in which we read Isaiah 60 this morning. And we're given this incredible vision of this light breaking into the darkness. And I have for you a quick outline there. 4 points this morning. One, the world is in darkness. Two, God will shine a light. Three, the light will be for the nations. And four, the glory of God will fill everything forever. So let me start with verse 2. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. So it's pretty clear. My first point is this. There is darkness. The world is in darkness. Isaiah 60 doesn't hold back. It's very clear in this short verse. He doesn't soften it. He doesn't say, oh, the world is a bit off. There's a little bit of a problem. Things are a bit confused, slightly broken. No. No, this world is in darkness. Thick darkness. The darkness is thick. It's deep and it's pervasive. A darkness that is everywhere. It's all around us. It's in our society. It's in our relationships. It's in our morality. It's in our spirituality. It's in every human heart. Isaiah was speaking to Judah. And Judah, they got this. They understood what it meant to be in darkness. They've been in exile in a foreign land for very long. They got this. But do you get it? Do you see this darkness? It's not just a description of what Judah were going through, but it's a description of the world we live in today. A world that is fragmented and exhausted and blind and confused and still in bondage to sin, whose eyes are not on God but on themselves and on this world for their own joy and for their own glory. And many people, and perhaps yourself, don't realize that they or you are actually in darkness. Perhaps you're in darkness, you don't realize it, because that darkness has become kind of normal. But Isaiah 60 says that this darkness is all around us, and it is thick. But darkness is not the final word. Point two, God will shine a light in this darkness. So into this darkness, Isaiah declares this in verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Verse 2, the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory appears over you. Now, the imagery is pretty clear, and I hinted at it when I started. It's the imagery of the sun rising, but it's the sun rising over a city and shining upon the city. And more specifically, we know that this city is Zion, Jerusalem, the city of God. We see that particularly in verse 14 at the end there. And it's calling this city, the city of the Lord, Zion, of the Holy One of Israel. So Isaiah calls Zion the city of God. And he will rise upon this city, and he will shine upon this city. But notice that this light doesn't come from within the city. It's not this self-generated light, but this light comes from the glory of God. It comes from outside of the city. God comes and he rises and shines upon the city. Now we know in the New Testament what the light is. As I said, the light is a person. And that person is Jesus. He is the light of the world. Read that in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, it opens with these glorious and weighty words. It says that in the beginning was the Word was of God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we read later in that chapter that that Word who is the light becomes flesh, and that is Jesus. Jesus is this light, the light of the world. He is the glory of God that rises upon God's people. And through his death and resurrection, the true sunrise has already begun, and one day it will fully be forever and ever this light in this world, and there will be no more darkness. But right now, this ushering of God, we see very clearly this light is Jesus. God will bring Jesus to bring light into this dark world that we live in. God himself steps into the darkness and shines in this darkness, which may be in our own hearts, in your heart. So God will shine a light. Point three, this light will be for the nations. And so now, it says there, verse 3, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And for most of this chapter, this is what is being painted for us. This light that shines upon Zion now draws the nations. This light wasn't only for Zion, but it was for the nations. It's so the nations could be drawn to the light as well. Notice, they will come. The nations will come. They're not forced. They're not coerced. They are attracted to this light, because they see the glory of the one true God shining upon this city. And how do they come? They don't come empty-handed. So we read through these next verses. Verse 5, for example. They come bearing gifts, not empty-handed. The wealth on the seas we brought to you, to you the riches of the nations will come. So the nations come, not empty, but bearing gifts. And in the following verses, we read all these gifts coming to this city. Their wealth, they bring their herds, their camels, and their flocks to make offerings to God in the temple. They bring all their materials and their wood, their treasures and gold and silver for this city to adorn the temple, to build its walls. And they come to serve and to build. It is a picture of service and worship. Salvation has come, and peace, we are told, will reign in this city, and it will reign forever. So we read this in verse 18. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your war salvation and your gates praise. Now, I think it's pretty clear when you read these verses that it's pointing, this picture that's being painted is pointing to the new creation when Christ will return once again. It is God's heavenly city. Salvation has come. And a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, language will come to bring their offering to God, and they will worship God, and they will experience everlasting peace. We read this in Revelation 21, verse 24. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night. The glory and honor of the nations we brought into it. The gates will never be shut. Why will it never be shut? Because there's no need to shut the gates. There's no risk of the enemy coming, charging through the gates. Because there will be everlasting peace. So we get this picture of the new creation. And point four, the glory of God will fill everything forever. So let's finish this picture in Isaiah 60. Point four is that this glory will fill everything forever. It becomes even clearer that he is talking about the new creation here. So we read in verse 19, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your God will be your glory. So at this time, God's glory will shine upon you forever, Isaiah says. It is this forever, for eternity is the picture here. This everlasting light. And it's clearly referenced in the Revelation 21 passage. Verse 23, for instance, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. We don't need the sun anymore. We don't need the moon anymore, because Jesus himself, the Lamb, will be the light forever. The light of this new creation, God's heavenly city. Isaiah is painting this picture very clearly for us. He's describing a world that is completely healed of the darkness. The darkness is driven away, this thick darkness that covers the world and in our hearts is driven away forever. Because now God's glory will fill it forever. darkness will no longer exist. When Jesus, the light of the world, came into this world, he guarantees this new creation. It will come. When he returns, this will come into fruition. God's glory will shine forever. How should we respond to this? Let me finish with these three responses. Recognize, receive, reflect. Three R's, very easy for you to remember. Recognize the darkness. Receive the light, who is Jesus, and reflect the light. So point one. You can't embrace the light if you don't recognize that you're in darkness. So I want to challenge all of you, for any of you who think you're not in darkness, this is for many of us and for many of our friends. We're in darkness. And we don't even realize it. This is so important. Maybe that's you. You're in darkness, but you don't know it. You can't move further. You can't receive the light until you actually humble yourself and say, I'm in darkness. I need help with my sin. You don't recognize it, perhaps because you've lived in it for too long. Or because perhaps your life is too busy. Or you're too preoccupied by your own pursuits. You're too preoccupied by yourself. Too distracted to pause and to weigh up your relationship with God. And maybe for some of you, you're too busy chasing smaller lights of this world. Success, comfort, experience, achievement. These smaller lights, they look shiny. The bling, you know, they look shiny. But they're not the true light. They don't last. These lights don't last. And maybe you've been chasing these smaller lights for too long. And that's why you're in darkness and you don't know it. So this is the first thing. To confront the darkness. To recognize it. To see this is the reality. To bring this reality to God, to recognize this darkness, humble yourself before God who loves you and has sent his son to be this light in this darkness, in your darkness. So secondly, receive the light. Receive Jesus, who's the light of the world. Let's turn away from our self-made lights and from all the other little shiny lights that we might be chasing. Turn away from these false lights. Turn to the one true light and come to the light of the world, this light that will shine forever. Come to the one who laid down his life for your sins, to take away the darkness from your heart, to forgive you of your sins, and to make you right with God, to bring you near to the God who gave you life in the first place and who offers you a better home, a better city that will last forever. We need to remember This is one of the very important values in my life that I try to remind myself of what drives my life. Very hard to remember it all the time, but let me give it to you. Let me share it with you so we might be accountable to each other. So this conviction that I have is to remember that the better life is not this life. The better life is not this life. It is in heaven with God. That's the better life. Let's remember that. Life is short. This life is short. I had this very unnerving dream. Talking about dreams again. I had this very unnerving dream, like this past week. And my brother and his wife passed away. And just reminded me, like, life is short. Your life is short. We don't live forever. But remember, this life is not the best life. The best life is life with God in heaven forever. So let's live this life to the max for the glory of God. So, point three. Let's reflect the light. That's what it means to live to the max for the glory of God. Let's reflect this light. Let's not keep this light to ourselves. Isaiah 60 verse 3 says that the nations will come to the brightness of God's people. So that means, if that's true, your life, your transformed life, should shine brightly so that others might look upon the light and see Jesus. They might see your transformed life, your kindness, your love, your holiness, your hope, your purpose. And when they look at your life and they hear you, hear your love and care and what you live for, they'll hear the gospel and they will see Jesus, who is the true light of the world in this darkness. And they'll be attracted to that light. So we accord not to cover. That's what Jesus says, the Sermon on the Mount. Don't cover this light under a bowl. You're meant to be like a city on a hill, shining brightly. So put to death sin in your life. Perhaps you're in darkness and don't really know it because you've been dabbling in sin for too long. You haven't dealt with it. You haven't put it to death. So put sin to death and walk in step with the Spirit. Live a holy life. Live a life that shines. Live as people whose greatest treasure is not in this life, in this world, but in heaven. Friends, the darkness is real. But as Christians, we don't despair. We have hope. We have received the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us. We don't despair because Jesus has come and the dawn has already been broken through Christ. And when he returns, the new creation will be fully ushered in. In the meantime, let's reflect this light of the world to the people around us. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the words of Isaiah. Thank you for the clear picture that it paints. We ask now, Lord, that you'll come and help us examine ourselves, to examine our life, to turn to your Son, to receive the light, to receive the forgiveness, to drive away the darkness, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, grow us in hope and joy as we receive this eternal picture that we are heading towards. May that be our hope. And may this hope not stay only with us. May we share this hope. May we shine brightly the light of your Son, Jesus, so that the world around us might receive this hope as well. In Jesus' name, amen.